Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting and informative edition of Atlanta Business Radio. I'm your host today, Ryan Red Hawk McPherson, and as always, we're broadcasting from the beautiful Regis Executive Suites here in sensational Sandy Springs, Georgia. Thank you so much for joining us. Alongside me today is producer Alex Gossett. Shiflett, how are you, Alex?
Hello, I'm excellent, and happy Earth Day.
Yeah, Earth Day it is.
Earth
That's
Day
right.
Today.
And we had our quarterly Q2 network mixer last night.
Yes.
And we had a good turnout, met some old friends and some new faces. So, but that was your first one, right?
It was my first one. It was awesome. I met a lot of good people. So I'm going to be inviting them to come on the show.
Yeah, so listeners, if you want to join us for Q3, our summit will be out there. There in August somewhere at the Concourse Athletic Club. So look for that on your calendar and connect with us at AtlantaBusinessRadio.com. Sign up for the email alerts. Follow us on social media as well, at Business Radio X on Twitter, at Atlanta Biz Radio as well, Atlanta B-I-Z Radio, and as always, at Ryan Redhawk as well. So, all right, without further ado, let's introduce today's in-studio guests. We got two headliners here making news in the Atlanta area. It's my distinct pleasure to first welcome to Atlanta Business Radio, Miss Laura Davis-Taylor with Max Media. How are you, Laura?
I'm great. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Thanks for joining us here on a Friday. Tell us a little bit, please, about Max Media.
We are a digital retail experience design firm. So we're 100% focused on making people love shopping more.
Who doesn't love shopping?
A lot of people will talk
really?
About that.
All right. So yeah, we'll look forward to diving deeper into that a little further. But let's also introduce the owner of the Snug Gastro Pub. His name is Brian Rose. How are you, Brian?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Tell us about the Snug Gastro Pub, please.
Well, we specialize in farm-to-table food, fresh ingredients, an outstanding hospitality program, and great draft beer and wood-fired pizza.
And you're located in Canton, Georgia, is that right?
190 East Main Street, Canton, Georgia.
190 East Main Street, Canton, Georgia. All right, so we'll talk to Brian here a little further about that as the show rolls along. But let's turn our attention back now to Laura. You know, as we mentioned, she is EVP, which is Executive Vice President and Customer Experience
for this company
called Max Media. So first, take us back to your background a little bit. Where are you from and how'd you find yourself at Max Media?
Well, actually, I started in hospitality.
You did?
Which is funny. I grew up in Daytona Beach.
Nice.
And I have an interesting story. My mother is blind, but she's a fashionista. So I grew up in malls, literally having to tell her what was going on around us as we were shopping till we could drop.
Really?
Yeah. And it really cultivated me a love of really shopping, but being aware of what was happening around me. And noting what was I liking, what was I not liking?
Yeah, and I bet you for many of those years, you looked through your mother's eyes, you were her eyes, and you were seeing the world differently,
totally.
Probably at a young age and experiencing things way most people wouldn't.
Totally.
And that was Daytona, and then eventually you migrated north, I guess, to Atlanta at some point?
I went out to California
And
finished school, and I got into research, which led me into advertising, which early in the day was, my first position was brand planning. And as a brand planner, it's a really fun position in the advertising industry. You have to get inside the shoes of the people that you're looking to connect with, whether it's for a print ad or a commercial or a website, whatever, and literally be in their shoes and understand them so you can represent them and say to the teams, hey, we're hitting it or we're not.
But you have to first identify who those shoes you want to be in, right?
Exactly.
And these days, that diversity is so much. Which one of those little segments do you please? You got to kind of have a cast a wide net these days.
You do. And a lot of it is understanding mindsets and that
human
people,
nature.
Yeah. And people may look the same and they may have different demographics or different psychographics, you call it, or even different incomes.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a good example. Lowe's Home Improvement. They started moving away from segments into a mindset a couple of years ago. And they go after the creator mindset. So everybody that loves home improvement love to create. And that's universal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's little things like that that we always try and think about. And I moved from the world of advertising into store design and website design. And through that, I started looking around going, why are we spending all this money making promises about what an experience is going to be? And you walk into the store or the environment and it's not delivering.
Yeah.
So that's what we do. That's what I do. I wrote a book in 8 years ago about digital retail experience design. How do we make people love shopping more by understanding people? And how to make them happier.
Yeah, right. And that hasn't changed. 8 years ago, technology may have changed.
Yep.
But those theories and those points about how people experience things are really the same. It's about relationships.
It's about relationships and it's about emotional currency.
Yes.
How do people feel? And
Yeah, in hospitality, right?
Thing. Absolutely. Yeah. How does this feel? And can I get this person to be irrationally loyal to me? Can I fix those friction points that are making them a little nutty? And can I create things that are going to be unique to me and my experience so they're going to love me a little more?
So from your perspective, what are some of the trends in the industry that you think our listeners should know about?
Well, the trends with shopping, I think that online has made different expectations for all of us. And every time someone does something good, we expect, like, the bar's raised.
Yeah.
And we don't care if we're shopping on mobile or on a website or in a physical store. We want it to be better. We want, we're different shoppers now. We call them the ACEs, the always connected experience.
Yeah, everybody's so plugged in and educated consumer, but they're also hypersensitive, I think, these days. If one little thing is wrong with the customer experience or the ordering process or the delivery of it, then people want the rest of the world to know. And then, you know, social media is where the people hide out and, you know, vent these days. So.
It totally is. And yet, if you're raised in business school, if you're raised in advertising, there's the four P's: product, price, place, and promotion. And that's the Bible, but that's not how it is anymore. Think about that. It's not.
No.
It's about what's this experience and how do people feel about it? Yeah. So the trends right now is, how do I get out of this whole thing about price and get people out of the price mindset? Because that's so rational.
People are so price focused, you know, and that really drives so much of it, when they can sometimes overlook a bad experience to save a few bucks.
Totally.
And it should be the other way around, right?
Totally. And we do a lot of things about getting inside people's heads and understanding what non-conscious drivers are behind that. And whether you're in a physical store shopping or even in the restaurant environment, what's making them feel a certain way, they're not aware of half the time.
Yeah.
They're not.
Now, I'd like to bring up a topic we talk about a lot here, and it's trending as well, the millennial generation and how they're changing not only the workforce, but how the shopping experience. So what are you seeing from your perspective?
They actually like physical shopping more than digital. Isn't that crazy?
No, I would think it would be the opposite.
Totally. Because they value experiences more than money. And they are so totally empowered. I mean, they take tools and put them on steroids and then teach other people.
But are they the ones that are most plugged in? Yes. Their phone, their desktops, or what have you. Yep. And they prefer to actually go to a store. And I like Amazon myself, so to order things. Just the simplicity of it all.
Yep. They're very promiscuous, too, with brands.
Yeah.
But once they're allegiant to you, they're just mad allegiant.
Yeah.
And what you talked about earlier, they're going to go out and shout from the rooftops and actually become your advocate. They will. They really will, but they're very, very different people, and they're the ones who started this whole wave on how do we create better shopping experiences in stores based on those expectations.
Right. Well, that's good advice. And then what would you say to small business owners out there, don't have a lot of money to invest, but have certainly a time to educate themselves on the, you know, ease and use of digital media? What are some best target, you know, ways for them to, you know, increase their audience?
Well, honestly, the social thing.
Social media.
It really is, because that's where people love you, and if someone loves you, that what they'll do for you and the radiation, that how they radiate that, is just amazing. But they also have an edge in that those are the businesses that actually can do those bespoke one-to-one personal human connections that all the big brands are trying to emulate with technology, right? So there's a lot of tools out there for them so that they can do better kind of customer relationship management. Hey, Joe, or whatever, I got this thing for you. I'm going to hold it at the counter for you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the same thing as Macy's sending you something that they used an algorithm to figure out. Hey, Joe, you might like these pair of pants.
Yeah.
Do it in a very human way,
right,
but use the tools available to you without spending too much money. Yeah.
The technology is right at our fingertips, and we need to use it, but also keep that human relationship part of the, you know, exchange of goods and services, because that's really ultimately what it is. Two people doing business together, and they connect, and that's a great way to look at it. So we're talking with Laura Davis Taylor with Max Media, and she's the EVP of Customer Experience over there. You see, you speak at many different places and industry expos and events. You've been in the Wall Street Journal, Financial Times, Times Magazine, and now Atlanta Business Radio. So you can add that to your resume. So what do you give people advice for when they're getting out? Or what type of people are you usually speaking to at these events?
All kinds. Sometimes technology firms, sometimes a lot of retailers, of course, CPGs, brands like P&G and people like that. And we're always saying, shift your mindset. We're no longer the kings here in business, especially retail. We're servants. Pick up a tray. Literally, like back to hospitality, pick up your tray. We are here to serve, and realize that the executives at the top can't self-reference on what should you do to make people happy. You have to be in their shoes.
Yes.
And think about this one question. Why would they care? Why would someone shopping my store or having this experience care that this thing versus that thing is there? Why would they care? And am I adding value? or I potentially taking away from the
making
experience.
Making a hurdle, you know, making it easy for them or making it hard for them.
Totally.
So what does your typical client look like over there at Max Media, the type of businesses that come to?
Mainly big retailers. Our flagship business is AT&T, who we adore working
with. See, I wouldn't expect they're a retailer. Oh, they have retail outlets. They're more of a telecommunications company, but a retail arm of that.
5,000 stores.
Wow.
Over 5,000 stores. And some of the flagships are the most amazing things you've seen in retail. We're working on some new ones right now, too.
I think a new one just opened up in Alpharetta right across from the Avalon development. And
yep.
That's going to be a nice store, brand new location and everything. So AT&T, big organizations come to you to help them increase their digital media presence and their retail experience and yep. get to understand the customer and be in their shoes. And anyone purchasing AT&T products is going to be from any kind of background for sure. So
totally.
Alex?
Yeah, I have a question. Hi, Lo. What's the best part of your job and what's the worst part of your job?
I think the best part is no boundaries.
No boundaries.
No boundaries. I look at the world of retail and stores and think anything's possible. Mm-hmm. And who's going to push the envelope if we don't? Someone's going to do it. You know what I mean?
That's true.
I wrote the book. Nobody else was talking about the topic. So why not?
Why not?
I love where retail is going to go and where stores are going to go and us being behind it. And we're obviously the passion's super there. And the opportunity to bring technology and physical spaces and psychology and things and people together to make people not only love shopping more, but have better lives is just so cool. It really is.
And is there a low? Because it sounds like you really, really like what you do. There may not be a low.
The dogma that we deal with is the low. It's trying to get people to see what I'm talking about through different lenses.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's so stuck on looking at, okay, so here's my retail brand. What were my sales today? But they're not underneath the water. And that's a hard part is everybody wants to have proof points with numbers for everything that we do. But yet so much of what I'm talking about here is soft emotional stuff. And so that's also where we kind of take advantage of it is we use interesting technology to understand what's happening. Here's an example. We'll put a galvanic skin response device on somebody that can track like lie detector tests, what's happening with their cells with sweat.
Okay.
And send them into a store and it can show non-consciously where they're having stress points and where they're not. And put
that person's a volunteer, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So you're not just doing
this randomly to people as they come in the store.
Totally.
But then you can see how they're emotionally reacting to the environment they're in.
And they don't even know it's happening.
In real time.
And we put glasses on them so we can see where their gaze is looking. And there's even cameras now where, this is so cool, they can microanalyze your emotions by different ways that your face moves. There's like 150 ways your face moves that can show you how this person's feeling. We've got a spot on CNN coming up this week that was just cut about this.
Really? Laura, you guys need to do a documentary on that. You should be videotaping that because that's incredible. I've never heard of that.
It is. And then there's no argument on are we hitting the
exactly.
mark or not.
You've got proof.
Proof. I have to say, though, there is maybe a little bit of a creep factor coming in here where you're starting to get so analyzed. You've studied that, man, I can't even be myself to be free and make free choices that the business is going to know what I want as soon as I come in the door. So how do you balance it all there?
I got into this privacy thing years ago. I worked with Pam Dixon from the World Privacy Forum to put together standards for this for the Point of Purchase Association. And there's many things you do have to do. It's got to be opt-in. It's got to be volunteer. And this is where the notion of value exchange comes in. If I have a brand with a retailer who I love and who serves me well and I trust, I'd probably give them level 10 full access. If it's someone I didn't, probably not. And we use the research to do it with segments of people so that we can see where are their common friction points and where are there others that are really doing great. Mm-hmm. So you have to be so careful. The funny thing is that I mean, the perception of privacy, Google knows everything.
Yeah, it's true. I mean,
you got Nest in the house doing like videos of my kitchen. You know, it's perception. And if you can get more out of it and make sure you can control it, that's the key.
And it's good to know there are some standards out there, that there is some industries that no one is just running amok with some of this technology. Because who knows what's around the corner 5 years from now, 10 years? Where do you see it evolving to as the years progress?
So here's my theory.
Okay.
The way that Amazon, when you sign on to Amazon, literally populates your own website based on who you are, what you like, what you don't like, what you've seen. It's knitting into your Facebook, whatever. And literally it's responsive to
It changes every day from in morning be different than the evening.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think we'll get to the point that if I have that type of permission level, like 10 years out in the future, my stores, my physical stores will be able to do that at least at certain points. And I believe that people have that expectation. Like if you walked up to a kiosk at Macy's and you're a platinum member, wouldn't you expect it to know, oh, she's a petite and she likes this and she's got a kid. So let's just take all their clutter out of it.
Correct.
Other than that, right?
Yeah. You want them to, you don't have to look anywhere else. You know, they have your style and what you're looking for based upon your past experience or your demographic or what have you and what you may need on those given days.
Yep.
But so what do you need more of at Max Media? Are you just trying to get more customers, more clients, more awareness to the general consumer? What are you looking to grow more of over there?
We're looking to do more big case studies to prove out what we're talking about. And that's really, we just built a lab where people can come and experience some
of
this
stuff. So you can volunteer to be part of the lab and wear the skin meter and everything?
Yeah, man. That's what CNN
inspire. Sounds like fun.
It's wonderful.
You get a free lunch or anything out of it?
I mean, it's great because you really do understand it.
Yeah.
And we put it into a very mid-century environment so it doesn't feel far-reaching and weird.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the psychology, if it feels comfortable, I'm going to be comfortable.
Yeah, you don't want people feeling differently than their normal self.
No,
right?
You want them to just be doing their thing because that's where...
So you got this lab that you're building. You're looking for volunteers. You know, do you need more, like clients looking for more bigger organizations to come on board?
We're working with a lot of retailers. We work with a lot of architecture firms and we work with a lot of technology firms mm-hmm. because they're all needing people like us to help kind of lead the witness.
Yes.
So we're going to be talking about some exciting things this year that we're accomplishing.
And how many do you have on staff on there? How large is the organization?
It depends. We do a lot of broadcast production. We do amazing like digital content and videos and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we're up as much as 60. And mm-hmm. there are times that we have a shoot, we have to bring 50 extra people in.
A lot of contract people coming in and helping you out.
For certain things.
Yes,
for
right.
For certain things.
But you're looking for more talent over there? You're trying to recruit some good talent?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. We have a woman named Katie over there. It's always keeping an eye open.
Right.
And it is fun. And we have lots of dogs in there, too.
Dogs in the office. So culture is important these days, right?
I'm there. I love dogs in the office.
Yes, that's true, right? We've heard some stories about that. And that's how you create and recruit good talent, create that culture over there. As the company begins to grow and such. And so maxmedia.com, that's how people can find you. You can go on facebook.com/maxmediaATL. Do you have just offices here in the Atlanta area?
We do. And we've got some posts, different cities, people in different areas.
Where in Atlanta are you located?
We're down the West End.
Down on the West End. So what's that like being in that creative environment down there?
We have a warehouse down there that our owner, Killian Wheeler, owns. And it's great because there's so much popping up around there.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had some involvement with Ponce City Market. And back to your question about why Atlanta, we've always had a thing about we've got to get Atlanta on the map more with retail because look at all the great retail we have down here.
Yes.
We are the hub of the Southeast, man. How come we're not doing more? And with Ponce City Market, owned by the same people as Chelsea Market up in Atlanta, what they're doing is so exciting for us. And seeing these like all these new retail destinations, like even like the Restoration Hardware.
Yep.
Flagship.
Big
and all
deal.
These things popping up. Avalon is amazing.
Great experience up there for shoppers and restaurateurs and everyone going around over there. So Atlanta is blossoming everywhere. Atlanta's a lot of little communities kind of joined together in one big city called Atlanta.
Yep.
I mean, you can be living in Gainesville and call it yourself Atlanta, or you can be down in Clayton County and say, I'm in Atlanta. Doesn't
totally.
Matter. So
we want more people coming in saying, I have to go see that thing in Atlanta. I got to go see that thing in Atlanta. So we love our AT&T client. We want more clients like that here so we can have more of an imprint on Atlanta with our hub businesses.
So you're actively out there marketing your services, letting people know that they need to understand their customers better. And you can do that through Max Media and all their laboratory research and products and stuff you have over there. So when you're not changing the world of digital media, what do you like to do in your off time in around Atlanta?
Are you going to be shocked if I say I go shopping a lot?
No, I would not be. But can you take off your work hat when you actually go shopping? Are you Laura Davis Taylor shopping? Or
actually, I love it. It's kind of therapy.
Is it?
Yeah.
What's your favorite store to shop at? Can you say?
I love to go to consignment shops.
Oh, thrift stores.
I do. Even though what I do, I love consignment shops because there's always that joy of what you can find, like the treasure hunt, and the service is so good. There's some really good high-end designer ones mm-hmm. here. And I love to go to small boutiques because I'm always trying to replicate that feeling of really good service and good boutiques with the big retailers. Love Ponce City Market.
Yeah.
Love just as my mom used to say, knock around.
Uh-huh.
All the different little pop-up boutiques and these amazing like small little niche stores we have here. It's just great.
Well, I share, I resonate that. I go to Goodwill a lot. Yeah. I love going around on the weekends. One of my favorite ones is the Buckhead location, because you never what you're going to find at the Goodwill there on Roswell Road in Buckhead. Road. Yes, so I really enjoy that one. I think number two is the Perimeter Mall location. I found some really good shoes there once. So so Atlanta's got a great place to you know, kind of grow and thrive your business here. So if you want to increase your digital media presence and engage your customer experience, reach out to Laura Davis Taylor and the folks at Max Media. How else can people find you if they want to get in touch with you?
Really, it's through their website and our social channels. We do a lot of digital. It's this digital retail experience design stuff. So anybody can get in touch with us through the website. And we love to talk to people.
Right.
If you love this topic, we're talking to you. So,
Alex, you want to volunteer to be in the lab over there?
I would love to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She likes to shop.
I
for
do
sure.
like to shop.
Right. And she could give you some honest feedback on.
I don't like to shop. No? So maybe you want my feedback too.
your wife.
I hate shopping.
Right.
Well, we have the lab opening, the grand opening coming up in a week or two. So we'll get you guys on the list.
Good.
And be over.
Yes, please do.
Yeah. And come, thank you.
Yeah. And come back and be a guest sometime on the show if you have some other news to share. Thank you so much for joining us today. And look forward to more great things for you and Max Media in 2016 and beyond. Remind our listeners to follow us on social media, Twitter at Business Radio X, and also Atlanta Biz Radio at Atlanta B-I-Z Radio. And if your company or organization would like to be featured as a sponsor on this show, reach out to us at AtlantaBusinessRadio.com for more information on that as well. That's AtlantaBusinessRadio.com. All right, back to the show here. And our other guest, he is from the Snug Gastro Pub. He's the owner. His name is Brian Rose, and he has over 20 years experience in the industry. He's worked in Charleston and Miami and now Atlanta. Currently is operating a restaurant in Canton, Georgia. So why Canton, Georgia for you?
Well, it's like we talked about. Atlanta is many communities put together, and people often forget that there's something past Woodstock and on up 575. But the area is growing. People from Atlanta, Dunwoody, Alpharetta are moving to Canton because it's a little bit slower paced and more room to spread your wings and fly. I know you like to fly Red Hawk.
I love Red Hawk. Yeah,
Red Hawk life.
Fly, fight, and win.
So there's a lot of growth, and there's a lot of people who like what we're doing up there at the farm to table. They don't like the big box restaurants. They expect, like you said, personal experiences where you can't get that in an O'Charlie's or a Chili's or something like that.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, let's walk the clock back here a little bit. Let's take us back to young Brian Rose.
Oh, my
the day that you first fell in love with food and realized that you wanted to pursue this passion in life. When did that happen?
Well, this is a great story. I blame my father for this one, like I do most of the things in my life. But I was in high school, and my dad gave me the proverbial, "What do you want to do with your life?" speech. I said, "Well, Dad, I'll probably just drink beer and play football and
guy's dream.
Live life."
Yeah,
isn't that a thing? Can't you just
do
that forever? So obviously no. So he got me a job working for him. He hired me. 3 weeks later, I said, "Dad, I don't think this is working out. I need to do something else."
Yeah.
And he's like, "Well, you know, the good news is we can scratch that off the list. Now you know what you don't want to do." I said, "Yeah, sit behind a desk. That's just not my thing. I got to be moving. I got to be creating stuff. I got to be doing something else." So the next week, he says, "Well, I got you a job." I said, "Okay, doing what?" He's like, "You're going to go work at this French restaurant in Buckhead." I said, "Okay. I've never been in the restaurant before, but sure, I'll try it. What the heck?"
You know? Okay.
So I go into this restaurant, and a guy who used to babysit me was the sous chef.
So you had a friendly face in there.
Yes,
right.
I had a friendly face, but it was not a friendly environment.
It wasn't.
This kitchen. It's a friend. It was a French master chef named Jean Blanchet. And he was like, when people watch Gordon Ramsay and they go, that can't be real. That's not real. That doesn't really happen, does it? They go, yes, it does. It happens. If you get the guys from Germany or France, you know, that's how they grew up. They quit school at 14 and spent 18-hour days in the restaurant. That's real. Oh. That's real stuff that happens.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
So I experienced that. Now, Chef Blanchet, little did I know, Hugh Hefner brought him over from France to open the first Playboy Mansion.
Interesting.
Yes.
He cooked for Hugh Hefner and all the bunnies.
Yes.
How about that?
The first Playboy Mansion outside of Chicago, he opened that. So I'm an 18-year-old kid, young and impressionable. He's telling me stories about the bunnies and
Hugh
Hefner,
right?
Playboy in the 60s.
Smoking pipes and wearing robes.
Yeah. So Chef Blanchet, this is for real. He used to race Ferraris. He rode motorcycles, you know, had a couple girlfriends. He had a couple Hummers. This guy was the original man of mystery.
So as mean as he was, kind of in the kitchen.
He liked me.
Oh, so he took liked to me. You, right?
He wasn't.
He saw something. He saw.
Teacher's pet.
Yeah, I don't know what he saw, but he wasn't that mean to me. He would, I mean, he'd yell a little bit, but he'd always, you know, I was nobody. I was peeling potatoes and mm-hmm. chopping carrots and stuff. So a couple weeks into it, I realized, I was like, wow, first of all, this man is incredible. This is the Ferraris, the lifestyle. I was like, this is the coolest person I've ever met in my entire life. So I went home. I told my dad, I said, Dad, I think I know what I want to do for the rest of my life.
Okay.
And he goes, you're kidding me. I said, no, I want to be a chef. He goes, huh. And I think he wanted me to take that job and say, you know, I don't think I want to do that. Maybe I want to do something else.
Testing it a little bit.
But I was in it. I was into it. You know, you go in the morning, the raw product comes in, you prep it all day, and then at night people are paying $30 or $40 for a plate of food, you know, something you created. Mm-hmm. And that's an incredible feeling. So I got hooked on that immediately. Plus the kitchen, you know, there's 10,000 things going on every day. And I'm very ADD. I know you don't know that.
About me, I had no idea.
Well,
no.
I'm telling the world.
Okay, so good.
I have to be doing 10 things or I can't do one thing. So this fit my personality and just, I don't know. Yeah. Some people are born to be in restaurants and others are not.
And not everybody has a clear moment in their history and life to kind of, as you did, to kind of set them on their life's path or their passion in life. You clearly have a defining moment.
Well, in the restaurant business, there's a couple, well, there's really two kinds of restaurant people. Somebody who's in college or is transitioning into something else. And well, you know, like we were talking in the waiting room, you know, yep. So mm-hmm. she used to tend bar. And, you know, that was, I bet that was. Yep.
And study people at the same time.
Well, that's what bartenders are. We were talking about it. I mean, a bartender is an underpaid therapist.
Yep.
This is somebody who analyzes that you can read people. You come in, it's like, oh, this guy looks like he's having a bad day.
Yeah, he needs a stiff one.
He needs a strong drink and a
shoulder to cry on.
Yes, a shoulder to cry on. Someone to talk. Yeah, exactly. So that's what, you know, you're either a lifer, you get in this business and you find that the lifestyle and, you know, all the craziness kind of fits your personality, or you wait tables through college and you say, wow, you know, I can't wait to get out of this business and do something else.
Yeah. Exactly. I spent some time in the restaurant industry, waiting tables.
We all have. I mean, I
didn't like it.
Yeah.
Just not for me.
There you go.
See, I don't want to be around food.
You could probably talk to 10 people and everybody would say, one of the 10 would be like, yeah, I started in the business and now I'm still in the business. The other 9 would say, yeah, I used to be in the business, but I had to get out of the business.
Right. So at 18, you decided that. And then a little known fact about people may not know, you went into the Marine Corps.
The raw.
Yes. And and that experience was an eye-opener as well. Learned some leadership.
Absolutely.
Learned some discipline. But you didn't stray far away from that love of food and wanting to be a chef while in the Corps either.
Absolutely. I was in the reserves. I decided to, you know, kind of get in the fight after 9/11. But I also was, you know, I had to finish my college career. That was very important to me. So I was in the reserves during college. And I tell you what, after being in the Marine Corps and going back to college, wow, what
eye-opening,
night and day. Yeah. Dean's List, you know, no problem waking up for that 7 o'clock class. Mm-hmm. Real makes life much easier. The first time, though, different story.
Okay. So break it down for us.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question.
Sure.
Brian, you have worked with some of the top companies in the United States. Can you name some and which one was your favorite?
I worked for the Palm. I worked at Coral Gables at the Palm Steakhouse. It's a great company to work for. At the time, though, in South Florida, that was kind of ground zero for, you know, the financial meltdown. So unfortunately, that restaurant ended up closing just because, again, you're in South Florida in 08 or 09. The bottom fell out.
That was a bad time.
We went from $85 a head, you know, and everybody in South Florida was a millionaire. It was amazing to me. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know how these people are so rich. There's so many people that have so much money. Well, then we figured out that wasn't necessarily true.
Yeah.
So I also worked for the Sonesta Bayfront Hotel in Coconut Grove. The Sonesta, great family, great family-run business. I think they've since sold it, but yeah, I had some great experiences there too.
Yeah. And then migrated back to Atlanta, your hometown, right?
Yes.
And what year was that?
09.
So back to 09. Mm-hmm. And then started to set down some roots here, you know, and started working in some different restaurants and experiences there. But ultimately led you to open up the Snug Gastro Pub last year, right?
Yes. It's been actually May 1st will be 1 year.
Congratulations. You having a big anniversary party?
Absolutely.
All right. So folks, go to
everybody's invited.
Yes, please. Everybody, thesnuggastropub.com for information on the 1 year anniversary specials and stuff. But I'd like to talk about a little bit about opening that restaurant. You know, you've seen it from the corporate side of things that you started this, you renovated a space, started from the ground up. What are some of those early challenges you experienced that were unexpected?
Oh, every day was something. You know, The person who had the business prior, there's never kind of full disclosure in the restaurant business. I think people really don't understand that. You know, you come in, you buy a business mm-hmm. that's supposed to be turnkey. And of course, like an onion, you start peeling away things. And well, now the floor needs to get done. And oh, you know, we got to fix this hole and the roof leaks. And so there's always, if you're doing your budget, you know, for opening a restaurant, add 20%.
Okay.
Because there will be the unknowns. And of course, if a contractor tells you it's going to be 2 weeks, it's six weeks, and then eight. Yes.
So always be conservative and overestimate your money, your time.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
And plan for unexpected interruptions.
A deadline is never a deadline, almost.
And then once that restaurant's up and running, what are some of those key day-to-day operations that you see other restaurants not doing and causing them to not see the success you are?
Well, it's really, you know, back to the personal experience. If somebody is going to come in to your restaurant to spend their hard-earned money, it's your responsibility as a business owner to capitalize on that and make sure that the guest has the best experience they possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
So other places, you know, maybe you're just a number. And again, like you talked about before, it's like some people are like, well, we didn't do the numbers. It's like, well, why didn't we do the numbers? What are we doing wrong? Was the food not mm-hmm. good? Was the quality not there? Was the guest experience not there? It's not about numbers all the time. You're right. You get to the nitty gritty of things, and it's about the personal experience. You go to the table, ask how was this cooked? Was everything okay? Oh, it was great. Please, you know, tell your friends. And then we talk about social media. And in the restaurant business, you can live and literally die. Mm. I mean, everybody's a food critic.
Yeah.
Yelp is either your best friend or your worst enemy.
Everybody wants to give an opinion.
And then the thing is, I always tell the servers, you know, if you see, because again, you've got to get in the mind of the customer.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of what you talked about, this is directly translate to the restaurant business. So
totally.
If a server sees or feels that the guest is uncomfortable, and you can always tell, you ask them, how are you doing? Okay. Okay. Things are not okay if it's an okay, you know? Okay. If they say, oh, wow, it's great, then you know that you've done what you have to do. But if you get, well, how are things? Well, they're okay. Come get me. Mm-hmm. Come get the manager. I need to go talk to that table. I need to reach out and touch them and see what, hey, hello, I'm Brian Rose.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the owner. I'm the chef. How was everything? Please tell me about your experience. Because if you let them out the door, it's Yelp.
Chance they're never going to come back either.
Absolutely.
Or tell their friends or be a super fan of your establishment, yeah, which is going to help you.
Sometimes it's hard for new managers. You hire young people and, oh, I don't want to go visit that table. I think they're upset. No, you need to.
Yeah.
Because if you don't do that, they'll never come back. And 9 times out of 10, you know, 3 hours later, you get a little ping on your phone. It's, oh man, table 3 is that, oh really? It's like,
yeah.
Wow, they put that on Yelp. Man, we could have got ahead of that. You know, it just takes one little table visit. So
yeah, you could have diffused the situation before it got to them so angry that they would go out and post that.
Well, in the business of the restaurants, you have to have thick skin.
It's true.
People are coming in and expecting, you know, the food to be on the table in a timely manner. It's got to be hot. The beer's got to be cold. Everything's got to taste good. And if that doesn't happen, you know, what are you going to do about it to make things better?
Right.
And that's what.
Yeah.
You know, what's irritating to me is when my husband and I go out for a nice dinner and we're having our little sip of wine and the salad comes and we just start on our salad and the entrees are there.
Yes.
That really.
So whose fault
really
is that, Brian?
Me.
Is that the waiter, the server, the manager? I mean, where does that?
In the restaurant, you have an expo. So that's the liaison between the front of the house and the back of the house. you have to be, usually I run expo because, you know, I know what the food's supposed to look like, what it's supposed to taste like, but it's all about timing, you know, okay, the salad hits the table, wait till they're done. Then the server comes back. Hey, you know, fire table one, the steaks, and then it's all about timing. So yeah, it's definitely irritating because it's like you go to the big box restaurants and it's like it goes back to the numbers. They've got quotas and, you know, the area GM says, you know, we have to do, you're competing against this day. So we have to do this kind of numbers. And it's like turntables, move, get them in, get them out. And that, you know.
Yeah, and I don't want to feel like that. I don't want to feel rushed when I'm trying to enjoy a nice dinner.
Exactly. So at the Snug, and I'll tell you the backstory about the Snug. So my business partner, when we first started our courtship, I guess you could call it, he says, well, I want to call this place the Snug. I said, I don't know. Are we selling children's clothes? I don't know.
Right, what is going on? Snuggies?
What does that mean? So he used to live in Belgium. My partner, Damian Mancini, used to live in Belgium. And they used to go to a place called the Snug. Mm-hmm. Now, a snug in an English or Irish pub is where like the priest or constable or two wayward lovers would go to eat or drink so no one could see them.
Yes, I see.
So it's a private...
two wayward lovers. Like that description,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, it's yeah, I mean, especially in a bar.
Because they're running amok in the whole town everywhere. There's always wayward lovers everywhere.
You're going to get that in a bar. I mean, it's just the way things are.
Right.
Especially in the Irish pub. So I said, well, okay, that makes more sense. It's supposed to be an intimate, close, friendly environment. Mm-hmm. So that's what we put all this money and time and energy into creating a very comfortable, my partner's big into lights. The lights got to be, he's like, no, the lights are too high. They got to be low.
Like to dial them in, right?
So it's like, you know, every little thing counts though, because
kudos.
Yeah, see, it's the psychology, you know, it's like, if it's too bright, it's like you're
at
Walmart.
I don't like restaurants are too dark myself.
Well, there's a very fine line.
Yes.
I don't know where that is, but there's a very fine line.
I don't want to have to use the light on my iPhone to read the menu.
If you have to, we get that a lot. Well, some people just can't read the menu.
Yeah.
And
some of the seniors maybe.
So, I don't know. I don't want to say that on the air. But, right. So,
Ryan just did.
Yeah, he did. It's your show. You can say whatever you want. You know? Right. It's your show.
No disrespect.
So, you know, it's every little detail that counts. You know, the lights and the bartender. I tell you, a good server or a good bartender, priceless.
So how do you find them? You know, you can't just put an ad out. You just interview 100 to find one, or how do you find
them? You can put ads out, but get ready for what comes.
So usually, do you find them word of mouth? And then when you find one, you know, you make sure you hold on to them, right?
Yeah, you have to, you got to find good people. And in the business that I'm in, staffing is always an issue. It's the biggest, I'd say it's one of the biggest issues in the industry right now. You've got two people and you've got 15 positions. You know, there's not enough culinary professionals or people that really want to do this for a living out there. I just, you know, it's tough. So
right.
I have one more question before we move on ahead. What's the second part, the story of your name? You've told us the Snug and then gastropub. Where did that come from?
Well, to me, a gastropub, really, it's a license to steal. I can do whatever I want. Okay. It's like, the Snug, we found, you know, it was like, we're talking about the Snug in an English-Irish pub. And I said, well, you know, I'm not going to do bangers and mash and, you know,
shepherd's pie,
corned beef and cabbage. So the food, the gastro pub to me is fresh, chef-driven, quality. And, you know, I have Asian dishes. We've got wood-fired pizza. I got steak, seafood. So for me, it's just an all-encompassing term that means the person that's making your food cares about it. And it doesn't come from the freezer into the fryer. This is handcrafted food. That's what it means to me.
And where are you located again?
190 East Main Street, Canton, Georgia.
My husband and I are going to have to come to your restaurant.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
I tell you what, you're going to come to Canton and you're going to be so surprised because it is like you go back in time to a little small town and we're just 45 minutes up the road here. So.
Yeah. No, very fine establishment for sure. So so what's next for you? I know you got a big event. You said 1 year anniversary.
1 year anniversary.
Are you looking to expand the menu? You know, going to be out and about, I guess, on the summertime in the Canton Square. What's next for the Snug and the gastropub?
Well, we have also opened an Italian restaurant right down the street called Mancini's. That's 250 East Main Street.
Nice.
So
You can have lunch at the Gastro Pub or Snug, and then dinner at Mancini's.
Well, absolutely. We're really out for world domination.
All right.
We're gonna start in Canton, and then you know
spread the empire from there.
Exactly.
Understood.
Build the empire.
Well, whatever we can do to help you here at Atlanta Business Radio, get that word out for sure. We'd be happy to do so. And also like to talk about, you know, your legacy. I know you're a family man, and I know you got two little beautiful girls who love you dearly. What do you want them to know about their dad and how he was changing the world?
Well, you know. That's a great question.
Thank you.
Good job, sir. I tell you, sometimes I go back and forth about, do I want my girls in the restaurant business or not? Mm-hmm. And it's six of this, half a dozen of that. Sometimes I think that my oldest one, Haley, mm-hmm. she comes home and she wants to play restaurant. Daddy, let me take your order. How do you want your steak cooked? Medium rare? Okay. Medium rare is a cool red center. What are you going to have with that? How about the Pinot Noir? Okay, sure. So,
wow.
But Hannah, the youngest one, she just likes to eat the food. She doesn't care.
Serve it.
She's like, Haley, just give me chicken fingers.
You know, that's right.
So the legacy would be, I think, just a work ethic.
Yes.
You got to wake up every day. You got to jump out of bed. You got to love what you do. And, you know, that's what my dad always preached to me. Well, he didn't preach. He'd, you know, throw me out of bed sometimes in the morning. But the day starts at this time. And, you know, whatever you did last night, that I don't care. You know, you go to church on Sunday. So it's the work ethic. It's just getting up every day, even after you've had a bad day or a bad week, you know, mm-hmm. leaving all that stuff somewhere else and then coming to work. And being passionate about what you do.
And they may hear this radio program years from now.
Years from now. It won't mean nothing right now.
When they're older and they're able to understand, they'll may Google their dad's name, Brian Rose, and he'll pop up on Atlanta Business Radio. And, of course, Fortune 500 Magazine and, you know, have been on Oprah and everything. But, you know.
If SpongeBob's on, they have no chance of ever hearing this. So,
right. Well, that's good, too. And so we look forward to more great things for you. And what do you like to do in your off time in and around Atlanta? I know there's probably not a lot with two girls in a restaurant going up, but what's your real passionate outside the kitchen?
Well, let me tell you about my perfect day off.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's hear that.
I'd like to fish. I'd like to play golf. But let's just talk about a perfect day off. Mm-hmm. I'd get up with the kids, give them breakfast, go back to bed. You know, maybe wake up around 10, ease into the day. Play a round of golf and, you know, come back and have dinner with the family.
So no work at all.
That would be, you know, the biggest thing about the business that I'm in, and I can't speak to other industries because I've never done anything else. You have to find a way to detach. Sometimes you got to turn it off, mm-hmm. you know, and in the restaurant business, it is 24/7. People call out and there's always something to do, but you got to find some time that you just like, okay, I have the kids right now. It's all about the kids. It's about my wife. Let's just concentrate on the family and some, you know, some family time and things at the restaurant will be okay for a couple hours.
Right. Yeah. Unplug, find that balance,
yes.
Find that passion and drive, connect and take time to yourself for sure. And
yes.
Those are the things we've heard many times here in the studio from other successful people. And we, as we know, Brian is a rock in the community and a leader amongst men. We love all the good work you're doing. Please connect with him at the website, thesnuggastropub.com. Also on social media. So you can follow.
I will say this young lady here, tough act to follow. Tough act to follow.
Laura Davis Taylor. Yep. Great to have you guys on the same show.
This is awesome. I mean, all the stuff that she had said, you know, I'm starting to take notes here because mm-hmm. I've got like we in the business that I'm in, I've got to get better at some of these things. Yeah. And it's like destiny has brought
us together. It brings a good question. The lessons you're learning through the retail experience, can you apply them to the restaurant experience?
That's how I started. I grew up in Daytona Beach, Florida, worked in restaurants my whole life.
But can you put
job.
Those facial recognition meters on people's faces as they go to the restaurant?
Hard to do
while they're eating, maybe, but...
They can, though. Yeah.
After three drinks, the facial rec would be tough, I think, but that's you know, you can figure that out, I'm sure.
But the point you made is the same point, that all we're doing is using technology to do what we should be doing as human beings anyway. Mm-hmm. Am I being empathetic to what is happening with that person right now? Am I watching what's on their face? Am I paying attention to the cues they're using when they talk to me? If they say things like, I had to do whatever... I had means there's frustration or, oh my gosh, this was great. And I felt this and whatever. And they're expanding happy. Then, you know, they're happy. It's about training people how to watch the cues and train their gut on responding accordingly, which is why it's so hard with talent, whether it's for retail talent, whether it's for hospitality talent, any experience is driven by everything that's happening and what's multi-sensory happening. What am I looking at? What am I feeling? What am I smelling? Mm-hmm. What's the vibe I'm getting?
Yes.
Well, the natural reaction, if a server goes to a table and feels like there's going to be a complaint, the server automatically is like, man, I don't want to say anything because I don't want the boss to get mad.
I don't want this getting any more, making them more mad.
Wow, this, you know, man, I did something wrong. Wow, let's just let them get out of here, you know. And I tell them, I was like, guys, people are going to make mistakes. People make mistakes all the time. It's about correcting the mistake right after it happens or before it's too late. You know, when they're out the door, they're gone. You can't get them back in. You can't rectify the situation when they're driving home. So I tell the servers, like, guys, we're going to make mistakes. You know, mm-hmm. I overcook steak sometimes. I mean, once in a blue moon, but it happens, you know. But then I got to go to the table and guys, I'm sorry. You know, let me make that medium for you. You know, it happens.
What dish would you recommend for Alex to order when she goes up to your restaurant? What's the number one menu dish?
We sell a lot of wood-fired pizzas. My favorite one is the South by Southwest. I do short rib, roasted corn, cilantro, little sriracha on top.
Oh, delicious.
Yes.
And do you have a good wine selection? Because you know I'm going to have my Chardonnay if I come.
We have a wonderful wine selection.
Well, that's good. I'll have to try that too. And if you do come back, hopefully you will. You'll bring some food next time.
Right? Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we want to try this.
The thing is, I got to get to the restaurant, cook the pizza, and drive all the way back down. Right. So I'm working on it.
And maybe we could do some on-site radio work for you up there at your one-year anniversary party something. Yeah. We come out there and broadcast live.
Absolutely.
Right there. For the thing, and my comment on pizza is I think it's the universal food. Doesn't matter what your dietary restrictions are, your ethnic background, there is a pizza out there for you, and you can customize it to no end.
We offer gluten-free crust as well.
Right?
That's a big thing. And
then you can fuse cultures into one pizza. You can have a little Asian, a little Indian, American.
Again,
you know,
license to steal. You could do whatever. You can put anything on a pizza, you know.
Yes. Very good. Well, thank you so much to both of our in-studio guests today. I think it's been a wonderful show here to wrap up a great week at Atlanta Business Radio, another Friday. Tune in again Monday, 10 a.m. to hear live to see who our guests will be. And Alex, thank you so much for running the controls over there once again. And we'll see you back here later and next week for some more good episodes. And listeners, we are Atlanta Business Radio and BusinessRadioX.com. If you're doing something interesting to genuinely serve your market, your community, and your profession, reach out to us directly on the website and pitch us your story at BusinessRadioX.com. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor. And on behalf of the entire Business Radio X Network, I'm Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you on the radio.